Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Captain Hunter's Podcast, a podcast that is dedicated towards bridging the divide between the police and the communities that they serve. I want to thank you all for taking this ride with me and with us as we look to do just that, to bridge the divide between the police and the communities that they serve. Once again, I want to stress that it is very important for us to understand that the police are actually serving the communities, right? It's not the other way around. It's the police are serving the community. Sometimes we get a little carried away with ourselves and we forget this. And I also would like to remind politicians of the same thing, that you are servants of the community. So don't ever forget that. I want to remind everyone to make sure that you rate, subscribe, and share. This is the first episode that I'm going to be dropping on this new hosting service, Podbean. I'm not trying to give them any particular plugs or anything like that. I'm not getting paid to say any of this, but I just want to make sure I stress that this is the new way that I'm going to be dropping these podcasts. So I just want to make sure that everything is going smoothly. If there is any problems or if you're not getting these notifications or whatever, please let me know. It should be going to the same places before: Twitter, LinkedIn, Google Play, Facebook, and everything like that. So I just want to make sure that everything is still doing what it's supposed to do. So make sure that you rate, subscribe, share, and all that kind of good stuff. Please support the podcast through PayPal, Cash App, Venmo, CPT L Hunter for all of those. Patreon page, Captain Hunter's Podcast on Patreon. Also, remember, you can follow me on Facebook. I am looking to do more engagement on there. That is going to be Captain Hunter's Podcast. That is the Facebook page. You can, you know, there's many different platforms that all the social media stuff is going on. It's hard to keep up and hard to remember, but I am on most of them: Facebook, Captain Hunter's Podcast; Twitter, CPTL Hunter; Instagram, CPTL Hunter. So you can follow me on all of those platforms. Another platform that I am trying to make sure that I am more faithful in doing is a blog post that is on my website, hunterpolicetraining.com. hunterpolicetraining.com. I have the blog post, as well as you can listen to the episodes of the podcast on that particular platform as well. As we all know, it's time for the end of the month wrap up, and this is going to be a fairly short episode because there's not much else to talk about besides being locked in our homes. Just speaking of the blog post, I wanted to talk about another blog post that I follow for quite some time now, and that's Improving Police by David C. Cooper. If you've listened to past episodes, you know I've interviewed Chief David Cooper, and he's very kind and gracious enough to come on the podcast. He has featured another chief of police, current chief of police of Aurora Police Department in Illinois, and that chief is Chief Kristen Zeman. I hope I'm saying that name right. Z-I-M-A-N, Zeman. Kristen Zeman. So she wrote a post called "What Is This Pandemic Trying to Teach Us?" So I think it's very important that we understand, you know, what we're supposed to be learning, if anything, right, during these days and times. We're all locked in our homes, essentially, right? We're not really locked inside. There's no martial law. There's no, you know, order saying we can't go outside. Please check out my past episodes with Chief Vern Riddick and also Dr. Kanika Turner, in which we went over the pandemic and you know, what to be looking for and how the police are going to be responding and all kind of stuff like that. So we went over that kind of stuff. Here's another opinion post by Chief Kristen Zeman, and she's talking about what this pandemic is trying to teach us. And we should be trying to learn something. We should be trying to come out of this a little bit smarter, a little bit better. And I think that all of our lives, we should always be trying to improve upon ourselves. And she reflects upon this time, you know, and it really is a devastating time when we consider all that's going on, right? The NBA season has been canceled. There's no March Madness, no championships. Colleges are shut down. More than likely, no proms. School are closed down. All these different things. And it's really been very devastating to people who have, you know, become accustomed to all the ways in which we live, right? Our favorite restaurants are closed. Can't go to bowling alleys. I want to say I heard a story about a barbershop in Hartford where the police had to go in there and make them, you know, stop cutting hair. And I think even arrests were made. There was a situation in Florida in which a church was still holding services. So this whole thing has really taken us, you know, by surprise and by storm, essentially. But we got to get used to it. And I got to be very upfront and honest. I thought that a lot of this was just a drastic overreaction. But as I'm watching the news and seeing the death tolls rise and seeing the models of what could happen if we don't try to do something about it, then I got to say even my mind was changed. Nevertheless, we got to try to learn something. And that's what Chief Kristen Zeman is trying to get us to understand. And in her post, essentially, I'm not going to read it, but she essentially talks about just being patient and how we choose to respond to any type of situation on this, right? I think I've done another episode in our daily encouragement sessions or our weekly encouragement sessions in which we try to understand that, life is 10% of what happens to us and the other 90% is how we respond to it. And so that's essentially what Chief Kristen Zeman is saying. It's our response that matters now and how we're responding. And so that's the most important thing is our response. I want to just kind of put Chief Kristen Zeman out there. Last name is Z-I-M-A-N. Z-I-M-A-N, Zeman. First name is Kristen with a K, K-R-I-S-T-E-N, Kristen Zeman. And she has a blog and you can go over to her blog and read up and catch up on what she's got going on over there. Once again, she is the chief of police in Aurora, Illinois. So another thing that I wanted to talk about, what we're learning from this is, yes, we're learning patience and we're learning that we have to choose how we respond to this. And I think that now is the time to really try to reconnect with our families, reconnect with our friends, try to put down, as we're sitting around in the house, no place really to go, maybe turn off the TVs, maybe turn off the video games, turn off our tablets and cell phones and really try to do some reconnection, especially since a lot of people are working from home. If you have the ability to work from home, because a lot of people are just out of work, applying for all these different out of work benefits. And so it really can become very frustrating to people, and people really can feel some type of way because, the bills are still going to be due. There are some companies and corporations that are going to be putting off payments or allowing payments to come in at a later date and time, but those payments are still going to be due. And yes, there's a stimulus package coming with $1,000 or $1,200 is supposed to be coming. But what is that really going to do in the grand scheme of things? I think if they really want to bail people out, cancellations of some debts, cancellation of student loans, I think that would really help. Maybe no taxes for a little while. I think that is the bigger thing. $1,200, that'll pay our rent, and then that'll be it. So I'm not very impressed by that particular number. Maybe 5,000 or 10,000. Maybe that will be a little bit better. I know that's unrealistic, but $1,200 is really nothing. It's really a drop in a bucket. Another thing I think that we can learn and should learn from this is that when our government really wants something, or at least when they see a what's in it for them, type of thing, right? What's in it for them? Now they understand that if they stimulate the economy and if they keep it going, then the taxes will continue to come in. And that's really just the bottom line. It's really about taxes and revenue in the financial stability of the country and making sure the finances are continuing to flow towards the top. And that's what's really important to them. But if we're talking about feeding the homeless or mental health care or food stamps or, shelter for the homeless or Medicare for all, or free college or anything like that, then all of a sudden we don't have the money for that. Oh, we can't do that. We can't find that. Who's going to pay for that? Right. That's always the mantra. But in this time of pandemic, then, okay, we'll give everybody $1,200, like I said before, a measly drop in the bucket. And then we'll go on with business as usual. So I think that we really have to learn what our government is doing. And that's why we have to really understand that our votes have meaning and they have consequences. Elections have consequences. And this is what we're voting for a lot of times. And even when we're holding our noses and voting, this is still what we're getting. So I think it's really problematic, really disappointing, but this is the life that we have to live. And we really have to understand how to play the game a lot of times. If you listen to my episode with Stephanie Lawrence, she said we have to understand how to play the game. And that's a lot of times we just don't understand how to play the game. It's disappointing. I also think that we learned a lot about us as a country. First of all, as a country, if we understand that, when the schools close, these grammar and high schools, a lot of kids, they realize, are not going to be able to eat. And so, which is a very sad state of affairs, right? We understand that the Black Panthers were really the originators of breakfast programs and all that kind of stuff. And I believe that here now in Connecticut, they are either have passed or looking to pass a bill that would stop the shaming of people, of kids who don't have lunch money. First of all, I think that all school lunch programs ought to be free. If we can feed our prisoners who we have incarcerated, and if we can feed our troops who we send away on military excursions and in operations, then we should feed our students who are our future. I don't understand why we make them pay for lunch or breakfast at all. But nevertheless, and so we understand that many people who are financially strapped, their children will be home, and now these children will not be able to eat the same nutritious meals that they would get in schools. And so a lot of people have opened up their hearts and minds and their wallets in restaurant doors and allowed children to go in there and to be able to consume and eat, which I think is great for them. I think it's sad for us as a country, but I think that the government really has an obligation to make sure that its citizens are fed. I really believe that. And I think that it's great that these civilians and store owners and restaurant owners are really opening up their doors. But I think that we ought to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, what are we really doing? How are we really living when our children don't have enough to eat? And of course, this has a lot to do with the parents, their inability to get a decent enough paying job and all that kind of stuff. So we can have a great discussion about that. The financial resources that are coming in and different people who are working two and three jobs in order to make ends meet and still not able to provide their children with nutritious meals. So that's a whole nother conversation we can have at another time. So I think that we should take a look at ourselves as a country, see what's going on, but also give ourselves a little bit of congratulations in that some people are stepping up and doing what they can do in order to make sure that these kids are eating. Concerning the pandemic and all that, I mean, it is what it is. We understand what's going on. We understand the problems and the concerns and the trials. And I hope that everyone out there is staying safe, doing what they got to do, washing their hands, keeping their social distancing, and watching where they're going to, and make sure you're washing your hands, especially if you go someplace and you touch a doorknob, carry that hand sanitizer with 60% alcohol in it. And just be careful about what's going on and who you're around and all that kind of stuff. And just, like I said before, try to enjoy these days and these times. So the last thing that I wanted to talk about, because, this has really dominated the headlines. This virus has really dominated the headlines. I've discussed it on two different episodes, so I'm really not going to go down that road again. But the last thing that I wanted to discuss is I wrote a blog post on this, as I mentioned before about the blog post. I wrote a blog post on this, and it's called If He Were My Kid. I believe that's what I called it, If He Were My Kid, or If He Were My Child. And I wanted to feature this, just kind of talk about this, because there was a viral video that went on. It was on YouTube about some kid who was in some store, looked like maybe some mall department store or something like that, was accused of stealing. And apparently the security or someone called the police, and they went through the kids in his friend's pockets. Apparently they found something in his friend's pockets, indicating that he was stealing, but not in the young child that we're going to hear talking in just a few minutes. So the kid goes off and berates the police officers. Of course, he's got his phone out, berating the police officer, Facebook streaming him live or something along those lines. And of course, it goes viral. And, the kid is a kid. He's going to do kid things. And I have no issue or problem with him having any type of interaction with the police and filming it. But I do have a problem with his berating of the police officers. I think that it showed poor class and tact on his part. But of course, once again, he's a kid. And so what he needs is guidance and correction. Now, we will first listen to his berating of the police officers, and then we'll talk a little bit more after that. So just take a listen to this as he berates the police officers.
All these police officers think I was stealing. Look at him. Look at him. Look how dumb he look. Look. Look at him. I want all y'all badge number two. I swear to God, I'm not playing. Look at him. Look how dumb they look. How dumb you look. How dumb you feel. I ain't had nothing on me, did I? Crazy, feeling so stupid. Look at him. Look at him. Man, I thought I was stealing. Look at this man. Over here looking like the man off of, Bro, what? Stop playing with me, bro. They thought I was stealing. Now they feeling stupid. Nigga, because they caught D'Anthony with all this stuff. Nigga, I ain't caught me with nothing. I ain't had nothing. I want your badge number. What's your badge number? Jamin. Yup. Bro, hey, can I get your badge number? Huh? No, can I? Bro, don't put your hands. Hey, bro, don't put your hands on me, bro. Look, y'all see it, right? Don't put your hands on me. Bro, can you get your hands off me, bro?
Are you gonna stand up again?
No, I ain't gonna stand up. Get your hands off me. I want your badge number too. And my mom. I want your badge number. I want your badge number because your badge number is about ready to pop off your feather. I want every one of y'all badge number. I promise you, I want every single one of y'all badge number. Y'all think out, bro. Ooh, y'all so lucky. And bro, if y'all took these badges off, I'll fire on all right now, bro. Look at him. Look how dumb he look. You look.
Come on,
look.
Move this way. Come on.
Look at him. Look at him. Come on, bag. Get my bag.
Come on.
Get my bag. Look at him. Look at him, y'all. Look at him. Thought I was stealing. Goofy. Goofy. Looking dumb. Stop playing with me. Looking dumb. Stop playing. I ain't had nothing in my bag. You sound crazy. Pocket full of money. Now how dumb do you look? Now look at him. Say hello to the live, sir. Hey, look how dumb you look, y'all. Look how dumb you look. Looking stupider than... Look stupid. Just dumb. You look pitiful. You look pitiful. You look pitiful. Because you think me and my mans were stealing? You look pitiful. Pitiful. Look at you. Look. You look so stupid. Do you believe how dumb you look right now? You look so dumb. You look so stupid. This is crazy. You look dumb.
Okay, so here we are. We're back, and I really wanted to, I just wanted you all to hear that. So now, apparently, I'm not sure as to whether his parents or grandparents or someone got a hold of this kid and made him apologize, which is great, which is great. And so we'll listen now to the apology that he gave, and then we'll talk about it. Now, I got both of these clips from Roland Martin, and so on this particular clip, you're going to hear Roland Martin from his show, Roland Martin Unfiltered, chime in in a little bit in the middle of it. He's going to ask if you see if we had the other video, but he's talking to his staff. So let's listen to that video.
I got a confession to make, and I got an apology. I would like to apologize to my mother and father for my actions and embarrassing them and my family nationwide. I'd like to apologize to my grandmother.
Do y'all have the original video?
Live on Facebook and also for my actions. I'd like to apologize for using the N-word and anyone I have offended by my actions. I'd like to apologize to the officers who was involved for my actions and my choice of words. I'm sorry for anyone I have disrespected. I'm not sorry for standing my ground. I only how I acted. I owe it to myself, my parents, everyone watching, including to all my supporters, to do better. Thank you.
Okay, so here we are again, and we're back, and I want to really focus in on, once again, I'm going to talk about, he's a child, he needs correction, he needs guidance. My issue and my disappointment are with those adults and parents who congratulate this kid and gave him the thumbs up and the big fist and the big ups and all this kind of stuff. Listen, it was shameful what he did. He embarrassed himself, he embarrassed his community, his family, and that has to mean something. Children always have to be representative of the parents. When my kids were young, I would always tell them, listen, you're a hunter. You have to show that you are. And when you go out to school or wherever you're going, you represent me. You represent this family. And so therefore be on your P's and Q's. And I sincerely hope that this child understands that. And to any other adult out there who's big upping this and congratulating this kid and his stance against the man, against oppression and the police and all this kind of foolishness, this child, unless corrected, would grow up to be an adult. He's going to talk to his boss like that. He would talk to his teachers like that. He would talk to the wrong police officer like that, talk to politicians like that. Listen, this is not going to be good for society if we allow this kind of foolishness and nonsense to go on. So I really challenge people to really think about what they're saying, think about what they're doing, think about what they're encouraging, because you have to understand that the monster that you create will one day come back and terrorize you. And so I'm glad that this child was forced or made to apologize. I think it was the right thing to do to apologize. He needs guidance. But as adults, anyone who's congratulating the kid on this, I think they or you are dead wrong for that. Once again, that child is going to grow up, and you as a adult right now will be an older person. Do you really want that type of mentality walking around? And if you think it's okay, if a person grows up and thinks that it's okay to talk to the police like that, they will think it's okay to talk to their wife or their husband or their boss or their coworker. You know, you have to put boundaries on people. You have to do that. You have to do that. Otherwise, you would be in for a disaster. So, and also, I don't think that his apology went far enough, quite honestly. I think that he put this on Facebook and he embarrassed all of those police officers. Not that they were really embarrassed, but he put them all on blast in front of the world, essentially. So I think that he should have been forced to go down to the police department, look each and every one of them in the eye, get this on Facebook Live, that, shake their hand and apologize. That's what I would have done in front of my son. I absolutely would have brought them down to the police station or to the teacher's office or the principal's office. And whatever method you did to embarrass them is the same method that you need to do in order to apologize. Look them in the eye, get their badge number now, and say, I'm sorry to Officer so-and-so. I'm sorry. Shake their hand, look them in the eye, and apologize. To do some type of blanket apology in the wording of it, I was really disappointed with too. But he's a kid, and you know, when you say I would like to, that always kind of raises an eyebrow on me. Are you apologizing, or do you like to apologize? Which one is it? So, but anyway, so that's what I would have done if it was my child, and that's what I wrote in my blog post. And I just thought I'd kind of chime in on that. We have to do better as a community, and therefore our community and our engagement with the police would be stronger and would be better if we would just learn how to speak to one another. I understand it's particularly in some communities, particularly in the Black community, that people are very disappointed and very hurt by the actions of the police departments throughout the years. And so therefore they're looking for any time and any situation in which they can get back at the man. But this was not it. This was not it. This was a child who was destined for trouble and danger if he's not forced to bring his anger and forced to bring his emotions under control. So kudos to the parents for taking some type of step in order to make this kid do the right thing and apologize. And I hope that the officers would accept their apology and that they can move on together. But I think I want to stress, I think the right thing to do was to record each and every one of their apology face to face. And I think that would have been a lot better. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Still got a lot of good things going on. A lot of great interviews coming up. For anyone who does not know, this actually completes 1 year for me, for the podcast. In March of 2019, I launched this podcast. So we got 1 year under our belt, about 76 or 70 something episodes. And so I appreciate all of you all listening. I appreciate all of you all subscribing, sharing, and liking. We're looking to do bigger and better things in the next year. So I'm hoping that you all continue to take this ride with me and with us. Make sure that you're washing your hands for 20 seconds. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, much love and peace.